named collective of Chinese people around the world by nationality and also by history and adoption have put together. And so this is number two, and this one's a little bit spicy. But again, I am going from most accessible to least accessible. And so in an essence, I think I'm also giving you the newly minted Chinese person to really consider whether or not you are willing to become Chinese, or if you want to return to your previous life of being not Chinese, but simply appreciating Chinese culture in a respectful and invitational way. But here's number two. Number two is to be able to hold space for all of the geopolitically and sociopolitically and historical, culturally, politically complex realities of being Chinese within yourself. And essentially, the main piece here, I have a few, okay, here's the truth. In my opinion, here's my opinion. There are several things here to what this is referring to. I have a feeling that because this is only a soft launch of these tips, they have not gone into the nitty-gritties of the, let's say, current geopolitical, sociopolitical, etc. reality, complex realities of being a Chinese person, or necessarily even being a person who speaks a Chinese language. That being said, the main point that they're focusing on here in the soft launch version is you have to be able to navigate the tension of being a weeb while also holding the Japanese government accountable for war crimes across East and Southeast Asia. Oh, that one's hard. That one's awkward, isn't it? Okay. And that's kind of the only thing that they wrote here. I think, probably because there are a lot of other sociopolitically, geopolitically complex things that a lot of Chinese people have to sit with. We have to navigate that they only wrote this. But maybe here's what I'll say from my own perspective, not necessarily totally affiliated with the collective, but also being a person of membership by birth, aka being born Chinese. So maybe I'll explain how I understand it, right? A lot of people who are newly minted Chinese and who have recently entered a Chinese era in their life, I think the membership appreciate and are fascinated by you. Fascinated sounds kind of weird, maybe, but it's true. We are fascinated and intrigued by what you were doing and have a lot of questions. We also really are painfully aware that most of you who are newly Chinese, you have not sat with the incredibly uncomfortable realities of East and Southeast Asian and even Central Asian geopolitical histories. One of them that I think is at times most often overshadowed is the reality that many Chinese people by birth face, which is that we appreciate and engage with Japanese popular culture and history and cuisine, culture, even the language in general, but we also are very privy to the reality of war crimes that were committed by the Japanese Imperial Army in China, and also in various other places across East Asia and Southeast Asia. And we are also very privy to the fact that time and time again, the Japanese government has refused to own up to those war crimes. And we sit in that tension. Many of us are descendants of the survivors of said war crimes and the invasion of what was then known to be Manchuria. As much as we will enjoy an idol and enjoy an anime and enjoy like a good film, we also like know what our grandparents and great grandparents had to go through in order for us to be alive. The intergenerational pain and trauma is something that we carry every day. But as are the joys of connecting with other people who also have a shared interest in sharing our cultures together and our histories and worldviews together. And that is something that a lot of people who have entered a newly Chinese era in their life, I think my interpretation of what the collective is saying is we do not necessarily, not we, I'm not a part of the collective, I'm just Chinese. I think what the collective is saying is that many people who are Chinese by birth membership and by adoption and by, national, passport membership, we are genuinely concerned whether or not you, a newly minted Chinese person, might be able to respect the complicatedness of those colonial realities. You have to be able to feel the awkwardness, feel that tension, and respect that that is going to be there so long as essentially colonial reparations have not been made. And I think that I can probably say this, that this is very similar if you are for like, I don't know that this is happening, trending as much, but if you are like a newly Korean person or like a newly like Filipino person, these other countries, these other places that have experienced the horrors of imperialist Japan, colonization and militarism, I don't know. I personally possibly think that this is something that a lot of newly Chinese people do have to think about and really sit with because of the realities of the current Japanese government. Let's move on to number three after this quick music break. That's all I want to say here about number two. Again, there are not a lot of details. I can't share a whole lot. That's just my interpretation. I don't know if I'm at liberty to share the other things. Smiles weakly and awkwardly. Maybe just here's what it is. Maybe just take this home with you. If you are a newly minted Chinese person, there's going to be a lot of sociopolitical and geopolitical stuff that you're going to have to figure out. And if you do not have the willingness, education, community to help you sort through those feelings and those thoughts, maybe leave being Chinese at the door. Yeah, maybe I'll just say that. Anyways, here is Here's a bird note.
This is bird note. Peer into the world of birds, and eyes of many different colors peer back. There are shades of light and dark, yellows, whites, greens, the red eyes of certain hawks, ducks, loons, herons, and songbirds. These colors really pop, because birds have no white around the iris like we do. So the yellow eyes of a great horned owl or a herring gull seem to give the birds a fierce, penetrating glare. While eye color isn't tied to one group of birds or another, a pattern common to many birds is a change in eye color as immature birds grow to adulthood. Bald eagles, ring-billed gulls, ducks such as Goldeneye and Scalp have brown eyes as youngsters and yellow as adults. Red-tailed hawks reverse this pattern, with their eyes changing from yellow to brown, while the yellow eyes of a young Cooper's hawk turn deep red as it reaches maturity. Not all birds' eyes change color as the birds age. But for those whose eye color appears to signal adulthood, this is likely an adaptation that helps them gauge the maturity and suitability of potential mates. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at Bird Note Radio.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Did you sit with it? Did you sit with that tension yet? Yeah. Well, we are going to move on to our third tip / qualifier of Chineseness by the collective. The least accessible item of becoming Chinese, of truly being a minted, newly Chinese person, a person with true Chinese characteristics. Now, I know what you might be thinking, like, Leslie, that last one was really hard already. You're asking me to be, like, existential and political, and now I have to learn about, like, the entire history of, like, this particular region of Asia, and then I have to learn about these other things, and then I have to sit with, like, questions about colonialism and imperialism and neocolonialism, etc., etc., and expansion and politics and state power and violence. Yes, those things are difficult. It is perhaps not as difficult as this third one. As declared by the collective. And listen, I'm going to try to give you some tips on how to access this. Personally, me being a born Chinese person, a born person of membership. We'll try. I'm all about accessibility. You know, we'll try to make it so that you can truly become Chinese, okay? Just, it's okay. Don't worry. I got you. Number three. Full membership must entail comparisons to Eileen Gu by parents. Okay. Hold on. Let me just read that again, because I know it's a lot. Full membership must entail comparisons to Eileen Gu by parents. Let's just sit with that for a little bit. Okay, maybe let's just not sit with that. You know, the collective, they're strict about this type of thing, okay? But, you know, like I said, I can't do anything about it because I'm not a part of the collective. I have membership because I was born Chinese and I have Chinese parents. And anybody who is Chinese, technically, they are born into membership. I'm sorry, I don't know how I'm going to be able to help you. Essentially, okay, here's what it is. Okay, first of all, you need to know who Eileen Gu is. Eileen Gu, if you don't already know who she is a Chinese-American freestyle skier. And she, according to Wikipedia, represented China in the half pipe, the slope style, and big air events. She has been skiing for quite a while. She goes to Stanford University. She has won several notable medals in the Olympic Games. She's won gold 3 times. She's just kind of amazing. She's also, you know, as many athletes are these days, also like a part-time model. Did I mention that she goes to Stanford? She was named one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2022 by Time Magazine. She is the 4th highest earning female athlete in the world in 2025. I am just reading out her accolades to you to prepare you for what you will have to experience in your journey to full Chinese membership. Essentially, the moment that Eileen Gu became a freestyle skiing champion representing China, every single person of Chinese birth who was a parent started to compare their children to Eileen Gu. Now you might be thinking to yourself, that doesn't seem fair. Leslie, she is an Olympic champion. She is a model. She is a top-earning female athlete. She was named one of the most influential people of 2022 by Time Magazine. Did I mention that she goes to Stanford University? Well, yeah. See, listen, the reality of the situation for a lot of Chinese children by birth is that we will experience, if our parents are also Chinese, we will just experience being compared to, like, literal Clark Kent, if Clark Kent was Chinese. We are constantly being compared to other great people. People who are absolutely the best in the world. One wonders, potentially, you know, who Eileen Gu's parents are comparing her to be... To be honest with you, I think her mother is Chinese, so I wonder who her mother is actually comparing her to, but there's a good possibility that she's comparing her to, I don't know, another, like, potentially very successful young Chinese woman. Who cares? I know what you're thinking. The main issue here, you're thinking, Leslie, my issue is that I do not have a Chinese parent, right? You are a newly minted Chinese person, which means that by birth, you are not Chinese. By nationality, you are not Chinese. By adoption, you are not Chinese. Meaning that there's a very strong possibility that you don't really have any Chinese people around you. The only time that you've ever been really surrounded by Chinese people is when you went to Shanghai in February, when you decided that you would become Chinese because you were so fascinated by the healthcare system in Chinese urban areas, because you don't really have that where you're from. And listen, I understand, you know. It is very difficult to obtain a Chinese parent. Maybe this is the call out on Typically Tuesdays to request, you know, if you are a person who is Chinese and you're looking to adopt a young non-Chinese person who wants to become Chinese, please write in typicallytuesdays@gmail.com or send us a text message 778-782-2573, and I'll create an application, and then we'll you know, Typically Tuesdays can be the point of contact between people who are Chinese who are looking to adopt non-Chinese people who want to become Chinese, and then newly Chinese people who really want to become fully Chinese, but they can't become fully Chinese because they don't have a Chinese parent, to compare them to Eileen Gu. I'm really sorry, this is what the collective has asked for, but we're doing our best, okay? We're trying to make being Chinese accessible. We're doing our best. Be the change that you want to see in the world, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make that change by connecting people together, I guess. But yeah, that's what we've come to. Some of the collective did write out some details in here for clarification, in case you're wondering. The first question being, why specifically Eileen Gu? The answer being, because she studies at Stanford University. Oh my god, and according to Wikipedia, she got early admittance to Stanford University. Jeez. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. That's one. Question number two, can it be then anybody else who was admitted to Stanford University? The answer is no, because Eileen Gu skis for China. Okay, third question, can it be any other Chinese celebrity with great success? For example, Elisa Liu. The clarification here is that no, she is alt. Okay, well, that's what you're gonna have to be dealing with. And understand, okay? Like, yes, it is ridiculous to have to live up to these standards by Chinese parents in order to be considered Chinese, in order to qualify as being Chinese. It is ridiculous to even have to to live up to the qualifiers that the collective, legally, I cannot name them, have set up in order to be Chinese. Listen, I can't do anything about it, okay? I assure you, me, a person who has had membership since birth, okay? As much as I want to help you, I can't help you. I can't help you become Chinese. I can't help you step into Chinese characteristics, you know? It is so much more than drinking hot water, than wearing house slippers instead of outside shoes, than doing calisthenics in the morning, than all of those things. To be Chinese, you know, It is even more complicated than being accused of political foreign intervention. Oh, it is so much. And I can't help you. I'm sorry. The collective has spoken. I agree with the collective. Definitively, those are the things that you need to achieve if you want to become Chinese. And that's it. That's all I can say, I think. I'm sorry. This episode of Typically Tuesdays could have been something else, but it really wasn't. You know, I really wanted to help you. And I hope I did. I hope I did. Being Chinese, it is a worldview. It is the way that we were raised. It is the people we surrounded ourselves with. It is understanding our histories. It is how we were taught by our families and the people and the adults around us. And those are the qualifications. Tune into more great CJSF programming. I'm done here. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Listen to Sasha's open mic every Tuesday from 3 to 4. It's very fun. Enjoy it. And I think that's all I can say to you. I'm sorry. Here's one final track for today's show. I hope you do enjoy it, though. Definitively, this is Chinese. And it brings a lot of joy. Consider this your engagement today with Chinese culture, despite the fact that this entire episode was super Chinese, and despite the fact that typically Tuesdays is incredibly Chinese as it is, because me. I'm sorry. I know I have this privilege. Sorry. I should not be bragging about being Chinese. When you are just, you don't even know where your status in Chinese-ness stands. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll stop that. I'll own up to it. I'll stop that. We're going to end off today's show with one final track. This is A Lovely Day by Chinese American Bear. Oh, God. Sorry. Again, Chinese. Anyways, this is Lovely Day by Chinese American Bear here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name's Leslie. I've been Chinese. I'm sorry. My name's Leslie. I've been your host for this hour of CJSF, and I will talk to you again very soon.
A real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.